Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pro Wrestling Ponderings, the weekly newscast. My name is Jerome Cusan, and I am back. You have not heard my voice in about a month or so, but we tried to record two podcasts, and technology failed us. But I am back. We have an adult recording the show as we speak. Chris VST is happily recording the show, so that I do not have to go on a rant and get very, very angry and swear off technology altogether and become a hermit living in the woods. So, of course, I'm Jerome Cusan, and I am going to be joined by Sierra and Brian. Ryan Rosansky, his internet, he is living in Amish country, so he does not have good quality internet, so he is not going to be back on for a while. Hopefully we can bring him back on soon, but Brian and Sierra are here. Sierra, how are you doing tonight?
I'm peachy.
That's an interesting description of yourself, Sierra.
I don't know.
Are you peachy because we're going to be talking about Crazy Mary Dobson versus Leia Von Duck tonight?
Possibly.
All right. And Brian, who has to be... So, Brian, I feel like you have to be really excited because PWG is back. They're going to be running All-Star Weekend December the 11th and 12th, so obviously you're very happy about that.
Oh, yeah, and not only that, I think the Lucha Underground tapings are going to be continuing that month, so that's going to be awesome, so hopefully I can actually get tickets this time and, you know, get on that shit. But hopefully it'll be a crazy month of Lucha Underground live tapings along with PWG and Force Awakens, so that's quite the month.
Yeah, it's going to be an incredible month, but Brian, you have to be very jealous because Chris Hero and Pentagon Jr., it is not happening in PWG. It is happening at AAW, the Windy City Classic, on November the 28th. So you have to be very, very jealous of this.
I'm very jealous, but I want to make sure you're wearing your Lucha Underground shirt that I sent you while attending the show. And, man, that match is going to be, wow. I feel like every time he's going to go for an elbow or something, Pentagon Jr. is going to counter and try to break his elbow. Just go, snap it.
I'm just hoping for lots of violence. That's the only thing you can hope
for. There will be violence. There will be elbows. And there will be a lot of crowd chanting, that's for sure.
I can only imagine the politics that went into putting that match together because of Chris Hero's Noah affiliation, Pentagon Jr. being with AAA. What a disaster. So the fact that this match is even happening has to be considered some sort of a miracle.
Hallelujah.
So AEW presented Never Say Die this past Friday. I had a chance to attend the show. You can go to twitter.com/PWPonderings. Whenever we tweet live results, including for AEW and PWG when it comes up in December, and you can find the full results for this AEW show at PWPonderings.com/results. So Michael Elgin returned to AAW. He is a former heavyweight champion, heritage, and tag team champion. And he did the JOB to Tommaso Ciampa, who won with the Project Ciampa. We had the Hooligans defeating the debuting Team Tremendous. And Team Tremendous with a bit more serious look and personality on this show. Unfortunately, they could not win the AAW tag titles. Very interesting news. Jake Crist, who wrestled his last CZW match this past Saturday at Cerebral, Jake Crist announced that he will be retiring from the world of pro wrestling on December the 9th. Before that, though, OI4K will challenge the Hooligans for the AEW Tag Team titles at the Windy City Classic. Abyss defeated Christian Faith. And then in a four-way number one contenders match, Trevor Lee and Eddie Kingston, they won, quote-unquote, the right to face Ethan Page for the AAW Heavyweight Championship. They went to a 30-minute time limit draw. Lewis Linden and Silas Young were also involved in the match. They were eliminated about 15 minutes in. And then Trevor Lee and Eddie Kingston, they had one hell of an exchange as they went through it here. And I'm very excited to see what these two can do in another one-on-one situation. Hot fire is the best way to describe this match, but we're going to go to our first pour one out or pop the champagne for you, Sierra. I'm going to go to you first. What are your thoughts on doing at the biggest show, really, in AEW's history? This is the first time that AEW, they are running Chicago proper, the actual city. They are running at the same venue that Chikara has run all of their shows at. when they've run the city, and that is the Logan Square Auditorium. So, Sierra popped the campaign, or I'm sorry, yes, popped the campaign to pour one out, doing a three-way match for the AEW Heavyweight title, as opposed to a one-on-one match.
I'm going to have to... I'm not a big fan of three-way matches, four-way matches. But I guess since it's a bigger show, it's going to be at a bigger spot. You're going to have to make the match bigger and jam-packing it with a lot of great talent is the way it goes. So I guess I'm going to have to pop champagne for this one. I kind of like their method. I would have preferred a one-on-one match more than anything. I think a one-on-one, especially headlining match, would have sold this card. But yeah, I feel like they're just trying to pack everything in. So, Yeah.
Brian, your thoughts?
Actually, I'll pour one out because I feel like I agree with Sierra. It should be, especially if this is going to be like the big end of the year show. It's nice to have a singles match, you know, kind of build up that big singles feud. But it seems like the singles feud is going to be Trevor Lee and Eddie Kingston. So they kind of mix things up here and they can't put one guy over the other without, you know, putting them together because they want to have the feud tied in. So very interesting there because, I mean, when you think about it, when I first heard the four-way match, I was like, man, I can't wait to have Trevor Lee and Eddie Kingston just go at it. And, of course, they were the stars of the match. And, going in, of course, you would think they're the stars of the match. So it's just kind of interesting that they went to the time limit. You know, it's very rare that you see a four-way go to a time limit these days, especially with the rules, kind of some wacky rules with the elimination, but it's kind of wacky to have, like, a time limit on it. But, you know, I kind of wish they went with, like, more, maybe Trevor Lee get the single shot, and because I think Eddie Kingston, you know, he's had his history in AEW, so Trevor Lee's kind of fresh. That would have made a fresh matchup. But kind of interesting to have a three-way. I would have just had, like, Trevor Lee go over in the four-way, like, maybe towards the end of the 30-minute mark, maybe tease a time limit draw or something like that. But, yeah, I guess, I mean, even I would consider doing a one-on match at the beginning of the show and then have the winner face off at the end of the night. But I guess they really want to have that star power in the main event, even though you kind of want to have this nice singles match. But I'm pouring out, but hopefully, you know, this will be a great three-way match. And, I mean, it seems like they're going to build up another Trevor Lee, Eddie Kingston match, and that just sounds awesome, so.
I think that's clearly the direction that they're headed in. And my gut says that you're supposed to be Ethan Page and Josh Alexander. That was going to be the match, but obviously with Alexander being hurt, that was not going to happen. So we're sort of in a backup situation, and this is probably the best you can hope for with Trevor Lee. You know, this is Trevor Lee's third match in AEW. It's pretty amazing to think about. Oh, I'm sorry, his fourth match in AEW, and he's wrestling for the heavyweight title. So that should tell you all you need to know. And Brian, one more thing. Eddie Kingston kicked out of the small package.
Ooh, that's shots fired, maybe. Every time I've seen a Trevor Lee match live, no one's ever kicked out of the small package. So at least to mine, I mean, off the top of my head, I can't recall anyone kicking out. So shots fired there, man. I guess that's more to or fuel the fire for this feud, you know. So maybe Trevor Lee comes out on top and you have a title match between him and Kingston. But, you know, Ethan Page right now is just kind of like this this internet presence right now on Twitter and just making a name for himself everywhere he goes. And we'll see who comes out on top.
All right. So before we go into our next set of results, let's talk about the fact that we have a new writer for PWG, Joe Chiacchetti. His first review appeared up on the website, pwponderings.com. And he started by reviewing PWG's Bola 2015 Stage 1, and you can expect him to be reviewing all PWG shows in the future, no matter how many they run. Of course, we mentioned the fact that December 11th and 12th, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla will be running December 11th and 12th, All-Star Weekend 11, so that's going to be very, very exciting, and we'll have to see what kind of talent that they bring in. With Ring of Honor not running the next week, you could potentially see the Roderick Strongs and the Young Bucks, and maybe even the Michael Elgins on this particular show. I'm not quite sure what New Japan's schedule is. Brian, is New Japan running that weekend?
I believe the tournament is over on December 9th, I want to say. So that's like a few days before the weekend. So hopefully we'll have a nice return for Elgin because with his contract status, it makes it very interesting now. And it's good. I say good for him, considering that, you know, he's not tied to Ring of Honor now, yet he still was able to maintain his New Japan status. So big props to Big Mike on that one. And it's kind of cool to have him team up with Tanahashi. So he's definitely getting a big push in New Japan. And if the rumors have it true, then we might actually see him and Jay Lethal at the Dome. So we'll see what happens there.
So, of course, there have been a lot of rumors floating around about Michael Elgin. Obviously, he was able to take a booking with AEW. He is also taking other independent wrestling bookings. But Michael Elgin has stated that he has not signed anything with Ring of Honor as of yet. He has an agreement with Delirious to continue working with Ring of Honor as long as he's not under contract. So there is the possibility of Michael Elgin sort of feeling things out now. Obviously, with NXT being a major factor in signing independent talents, you have to believe that Michael Elgin should be considering that as a potential place. We don't know what's going on with New Japan. Michael Elgin is going to be a part of the Global Tag League with Hiroshi Tanahashi. He may be wrestling at the Dome. There's a lot of things that could be going on with Michael Elgin. And, you know, I think it's a smart move on his part to sort of feel things out and see where he could potentially end up. Sierra, I assume you agree.
Yeah, I think that's the best for anybody in the same situation, because it's right now it's so many options. You know, you can jump and go with New Japan and have a great career overseas, but you got so many opportunities knocking for NXT, and every time you turn around, they're grabbing up guys for one or two shows, and eventually you never know. You could have like a role like Rhino where you brought in multiple times. So there's so many options and stuff out here to explore, so you can't really just not think that, you know, doing one thing or the other is going to help you. And I think with Michael Elgin, he needs to explore his options. And you never know. It might find him a good spot, a good role, and we might see him have better storyline progression, better matches, better this, better that with New Japan, or if he ever happens to get calls from NXT. It might be something different, and he needs a break. Because, you know, for a while, all you can really associate him with is Ring of Honor, and any guy right now can benefit from this.
Let's talk about Chikara very briefly. Unfortunately, there was some bad news from this past weekend. Kimberly was supposed to be a part of both of these shows that took place in Philadelphia and Reading. She was not a part of either show, as it turns out. But there was still a lot of big, big news that came out of this weekend. Ikaris and Eddie Kingston both earned their third point towards contention for the Grand Championship. So, at Chikara's biggest show of the year, the season finale, it will be Ikaris, Eddie Kingston, and Halloween in a three-way for the Grand Championship of Chikara. There are a couple of significant things about this match. It is the first time that the Grand Championship is going to be contested in a three-way match. In addition, you also have the only three men to have ever held the Grand Championship. Of course, Ikaris was the champion for about a year or so. Eddie Kingston was the first champion. Halloween is the current champion. Also worth noting, you have a battle of three Gen 1 Chikara superstars. These are three men who have essentially been around since 2002 and 2003. So these are three men with a long legacy in Chikara. So whereas we talked about the AEW three-way before, I'm very curious. Obviously, I know that you guys are not the biggest Chikara fans, but based on, you know, some of the history involved with this being a three-way, Brian, pop the champagne or pour one out for Chikara doing a three-way at the finale.
I got to pop champagne just because, I mean, I haven't watched Chikara since they blacked out their own pay-per-view or whatever, and I kind of just detached myself from Chikara ever since. But I do know my Chikara history, and these are probably the three originals. Not the originals, but, you know, season one, season two guys. I think they're the only ones left on the roster, so it makes all this grand, you know, great sense because, I mean, they're the guys. They've been there the longest, and it just makes sense because I believe Ikaris and Hello Wicked used to be a team, and then they broke up. And, you know, Ikaris and Eddie Kingston had the big title match that went to black. And they have their history together. So everyone's got a history together. It makes perfect sense. Piques my interest to watch the Chikara show again, even though I haven't watched the Chikara show in forever. I didn't even watch The Last King of Trios because I was just kind of didn't really care, you know. But I do care about this match because it's really interesting in terms of the history, and I do know the history well. So pop champagne, and I probably won't understand anything on the undercard if I do watch this show, but I'll definitely get the main event and the big time feel overall because it is a big deal for the company, and it's a really big deal for the history of the company. So. Really excited for that, and I mean, if anything, you never know. I mean, Hella Wicked could retain, and because I know he's a heel right now, and still be because I mean, Chikara seems to have long championship reigns, so it would make sense if maybe Hella Wicked to win and still be the champ. But if not, we're gonna get the first two-time grand champion.
Yes, this is going to be a very intriguing match for longtime Chikara fans. The finale takes place in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's 25 days away. Saturday, December the 5th, 2015 at 7 p.m., and it takes place at the ECW Arena. Also taking place will be the Challenge of the Immortals tournament final. We will probably know much more about that within the next couple of weeks or so. And if you would like, you can go listen to Viva Chikara. They recorded a show last week. Even though the shows are over, you can go and see what Kevin and Justin had to say about the Chikara shows. They are a tremendous resource. Obviously, with Brian, Sierra, and I not following Chikara nearly as much, you want to go to those two gentlemen as resources. So, as we move on here, Evolve.
Sierra didn't pop champagne or pour one out yet.
I forgot one. Sierra, I forgot about you. I'm sorry.
I care.
Brian, I guess I want the pop. Well, I mean, I appreciate it, but I was going to just let it go in because I have no idea about anything with Chikara. And Kevin's going to kill me, so.
Well, I tried.
He's not going to kill you.
I tried.
Well, he can try.
I mean, I would take you in a fight.
Yeah, but, I mean, I can't really, like, I'll pop the champagne, but I don't know. I've never really gotten Chikara. Like, I don't know, some of the characters, some of the name stuff, it's a little bit much to keep up on. I've tried numerous times, and I don't know, I just, maybe there's gonna be that one day it clicks for me. Maybe.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
So, Evolve, which has gotten a ton of buzz lately, just a lot of very positive feedback from fans all across the United States as they've been watching on WWNLive.com. Chris Bacon will be having reviews for all of the latest four Evolve shows. There were some technical issues on our end to watch 49 and 50. Those reviews should be up along with 51 and 52 very soon. Again, pwponderings.com/results. And some of the big stories coming from this past weekend. Matt Riddle, again, going undefeated this past weekend as he defeated both Drew Gulak and Tracy Williams. Some of the other results, Drew Galloway defeating Caleb Conley with the sick kick and Future Shock DDT. Timothy Thatcher retained his Evolve title on both shows, first defeating Johnny Gargano and then defeating Drew Galloway in a non-title match. So, a very interesting little thing going on here. And Matt Riddle joined up with Drew Gulak's group. Drew Gulak now has a faction that is referred to as Catchpoint. So we'll have to see how that all develops from this past weekend. But a lot of really interesting results from Evolve 51 and 52. I am very much looking forward to watching these shows. And I would assume that you guys are as well. And I know we do not have an official review for next week, but I was going to propose that we watch Evolve 51 for our show of the week. Brian and Sierra, your thoughts?
I am cool with that.
I'm down for that.
Although we will eventually watch Round Robin Chen, and not Round Robin Chen. That's the Ring of Honor show. Sorry. Whatever the Beyond Round Robin thing is called.
Drew Cordero's gonna listen to this. He's gonna smack you, Brian.
Hey, man, I'm sorry, man. I got Chris Daniels and Brian Danielson and Loki stuck in my head still. So, you know, we're going to review that soon, believe me, because that's definitely on our personal list and some of the our listeners' lists, so we will review that soon.
And, of course, you should go to Beyond Demand and check out everything that they have to offer through YouTube, putting up past shows, even keeping up with some of the current stuff, but you definitely want to check them out. For $9.99 a month, you can get all the Beyond Wrestling right at your fingertips. And, you know, they're also starting to book Matt Riddle as well. So he's quickly becoming a very buzzed about guy. And, you know, as much as you want to say, well, should this guy really be getting booked? A lot of the feedback I've seen, guys, I've seen a lot of very positive things written. So, Sierra, I know you have to be intrigued to see what Matt Riddle has to offer in an Evolve and even a Beyond Wrestling ring. Sierra, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you
I was waiting for you to say something.
I did say something. I was I was sending it to you to talk about Evolve.
Oh. Yeah, I'm actually excited to see that one. And, you know, if any, again, you guys requested the other show review for us to review one show, but you guys ever have any other ones, let us know. We're trying to get to so many as fast as possible. We had two Revolution Pro shows that didn't get to make the light of day.
They're both really good shows.
And both really good shows. So we encourage you to go look at them. It's just that, man, we was put through the ringer. But yeah, I actually want to see the Evolve one. I don't get to see much Evolve. So it'd be a different change of pace for me, you know. Can't watch women's wrestling all the time.
And the one thing I'll say is, I mean, if of all the years to watch Evolve, this is definitely the one, because I mean, they have just had an amazing year. If we were to shut down the balloting for Independent Wrestling Company of the Year, you would have a very hard argument, I think, with people and not saying Evolve. I just think Evolve has probably been artistically, you know, maybe not from a financial standpoint, but from an artistic standpoint, I think it's very an easy choice for me to say Evolve has been the best indie. Better than PWG, AEW, AIW, Beyond. Evolve is just clicking. They've had a lot of really great shows. They've had some Match of the Year contenders. I mean, they built up Timothy Thatcher so well. You know, they have sort of developed their own style. You know, I guess what they've done is they've taken an old style, made it new again. You know, they've got the relationship with NXT. You know, they've built some new stars. It just feels like Evolve has really clicked this year in a way that they never have before. Any other thoughts on Evolve before we move on?
I will say this. The booking of Matt Riddle is pretty smart. It reminds me of Moose. Like, you just got to book him in small doses, and then eventually the crowd will just want him even more, and then you build up to longer matches, which is the smart thing to do, so... You got to give Gabe credit for that, because he definitely knows how to book a talent that's kind of limited and then builds on his strengths, kind of like Paul Heyman taught him. So props to there. And then I bet Matt Riddle's going to be like the muscle of the Drew Gulak group. So that makes sense to put all the shooter submission guys together in a group. So Drew Gulak is a major heel, and Evolve makes all the sense in the world, because he was like an old school heel anyway. So it just makes sense that he would kind of be a go-to number two, number one heel, but I think Ethan Page is still the number one heel in the company. So,
absolutely. So, CZW, they presented their show Cerebral. They made their yearly trip to Dayton, Ohio. And among the highlights, Devin Moore defeating Jake Crist. This was Jake Crist's last match in CZW. We mentioned earlier his upcoming retirement. We also had Matt Tremont and DJ Hyde going to a no contest. They will be wrestling in a rematch. We'll talk more about this next week. They will be wrestling in Voorhees, New Jersey. That will, quote unquote, highlight the history of their rivalry, whatever that means. And of course, for full results, you can go to pwponderings.com/results. CWF Mid-Atlantic also ran a show this past weekend entitled Fallout. The big story coming out of this show is Cedric Alexander defeating the CWF Mid-Atlantic television champion Chet Sterling by pinfall. We also had Trevor Lee and Alter J Crown champion Ethan Case defeating Ethan Alexander Sharp and Rory Wilkins in a match. Marcellus King defeated Smith Garrett. by referees stoppage. Again, pwponderings.com/results to see everything that is going on with CWF Mid-Atlantic. And they will be having another show coming up on it November the 20th. CWF Mid-Atlantic runs very frequently, and I keep promising this, but eventually we will be reviewing a CWF Mid-Atlantic show soon. So hopefully that goes down, because they've been doing a lot of really positive things as well. So yeah, very much looking forward to that. So now what we're going to do is let's talk about a couple of the big happenings that are going to be coming up over the next few weeks. Hey, Sierra and Brian, remember when Thanksgiving weekend was kind of a quiet weekend in the world of independent wrestling?
Yes.
Now what?
Well, this year, AIW, of course, they run Hell on Earth every year. They're going to be running on Black Friday, as always. And they've got Ricky Shane Page versus Ethan Page for the AIW Heavyweight title. Lewis Linden will be wrestling Alex Shelley. Gregory Iron will be defending the Intense title versus Davey Vega. That is Hell on Earth. That takes place Black Friday. Beyond Wrestling will be running a double shot at Fet Music, as they will be running the tournament for tomorrow for over that the course of the weekend on Saturday and Sunday. And AEW, of course, the Windy City Classic. Chris Hero versus Pentagon Jr. And Brian, you might even be more jealous of this. Phoenix versus Alex Shelley.
Whoa. That's going to be interesting. Is it going to be a technically based match, or is it going to be like a high flying match? Because Shelley doesn't really do the high flying anymore. He mainly does like all technical. So could be a real good clash of styles there.
Absolutely. And Sierra, I know you have to be looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, that's incredible right there. Like, never think about putting those two together.
It's one of those matches you didn't even realize was a dream match until it's right in front of your face.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like when you're a kid and you go in like the toy store and like you never know what you want, and then you just see that toy. That's what it is.
And in addition to all of that, Ring of Honor, they will be going across the pond, and they will be running a super show with PCW out of Preston City. And so they're going to England. So there's a ton of independent wrestling taking place over Thanksgiving weekend. So we're going to be having all of those results at pwponderings.com. So in between shopping, seeing the Hunger Games or Creed, definitely check out all of the results that will be forthcoming. I will, of course, be at the Windy City Classic on that Saturday. You guys think I'm going to miss Chris Hero and Pentagon Jr.? No way. That's not happening. If I did, I feel like Brian would fly to Chicago and punch me in the face for missing that.
Yes, I would.
Gosh, the violence.
Brian would bring the violence party. That's what he would do.
We do not promote violence here.
I mean, except against Ryan, but Ryan's not here to defend himself, so I guess
we can't. It's all handshakes on Pro Wrestling Ponderings.
Code of honor to be followed.
Yes.
So I know we have this conversation seemingly every week, but did you guys know that Ring of Honor is running shows this weekend?
I do now.
Sierra?
No.
So they are not only running shows, they are running one of their longest-running tournaments. This goes back all the way to 2004, when the first Survival of the Fittest took place, and it's back again. Survival of the Fittest weekend is going to be in Milwaukee, the Turner Hall Ballroom. It's 90 miles from me, but because it's a Friday, I am not going to be going to this show, so very unfortunate, but it's got the potential to be a lot of fun. I'm not quite sure what to make of this to an extent, because there really is a lot of interesting stuff that could potentially go on, but we're just not sure how this is all going to develop. So there's going to be a Ring of Honor tag team title match. The Kingdom will wrestle Maria Kanellis, the best of five series finale, which will also serve as a Survival of the Fittest 15 qualifier, ACH and Matt Sydal. Mark Briscoe, Christopher Daniels, Hansen, and Kenny King in a four-corner survival. And Jay Briscoe, Frankie Kazarian, Ray Rowe, and Rhett Titus in another four-corner survival. Michael Elgin, Adam Cole, and Moose in a triple threat. And then Dalton Castle versus Silas Young versus Adam Page with BJ Whitmer and Roderick Strong versus Cedric Alexander. So you've got the two singles matches, the two four-corner survivals, and the two three-ways that will be comprising all of Survival of the Fittest. And then all of the winners of those matches will be going on the next night to wrestle in the main event. That main event takes place in Hopkins, Minnesota. Brian, any thoughts on what you just heard? Any predictions?
Well, traditionally, back in the day, Survival of the Fittest was used to make a guy. And the last few years, I don't think it's really done that. But I guess, you know, if you were to make a guy, it'd probably be ACH. I've been saying that for the last couple podcasts.
Even Brian, just stop. It's not happening.
But he's so right for that role. He should win Survival of the Fittest and make a name for himself. And
I think it's absolutely bizarre that they're doing this best of five series. And all it's getting them is a qualifier into Survival of the Fittest.
Yeah,
you would think I don't understand that.
You would think after a grueling five-match series, you would have a nice, unique opportunity.
At least say, oh, they get a TV title shot.
Right, that's what I was thinking the whole time. Like, this has to be building to a TV title shot. But no, hey, if you win, you get to be in another multi-man match. You know, it's like, it's so weird. You look at this card, and it's like.
Have you ever seen basketball, Brian?
Of course.
The scene with Dan Patrick and Kenny Mayne reading off the playoffs.
Yeah, that's
basketball. That's the scene I thought of when I heard of this.
Yeah, I think of the TNA tournament when I see that convoluted bracket.
The right to fight or whatever.
It's so weird. Like, hey, we're gonna enter this four-way match, and when I win, I'm gonna enter a six-way match. You know, it's like, you're kind of devaluing the whole multi-man match by having a series of multi-man matches to set up multi-man matches. Like, you should have just had the singles matches.
Right. And the other thing to me that really bothers me, Survival of the Fittest, the whole point of a Survival of the Fittest is that you're trying to figure out who's the fittest wrestler, and why is this tournament taking place over two nights?
Right. You know, and then even with, like, the multi-man matches, it's not elimination matches, so it's not truly a Survival of the Fittest, so
right.
It's kind of wacky. I've seen some wacky tournaments like this before. I know Dragon Gate USA had some wacky tournaments, and then the Evolve tournament was wacky in itself.
We never speak of that.
Right. Right.
ever.
Yeah.
The Black Callahan selling the wrong goddamn leg.
Yeah, I remember reading that, and I was just like, well, glad I didn't watch this show. But yeah, it's just so weird to have these multi-man matches just to set up another multi-man match. It makes it not seem special at all. And it's built better as like a one-night show that tells like a story of like an underdog, kind of like, if you remember the first one with Austin Aries, no one thought he would have made that final, or the final match. He was the final two against Danielson.
Right, that's when Gabe was booking, and that's when Gabe was probably at the peak of his powers.
Right, and we're making guys with this tournament, and now you're not making guys anymore, so I don't know. With me, I'd make a guy. Guess it's not going to happen. They'll probably give it to someone who doesn't need it. Maybe, fuck, they'll probably just give it to Roderick Strong.
You know what? I think this is... I think Elgin's winning. And I think there have been a lot of rumors about, you know, Michael Elgin and Jay Lethal wrestling at the Dome. I think this is the pretext to do that. I think Elgin's winning.
Really? I feel like since he's not tied down to Ring of Honor, they're just going to book him like they don't care about him and kind of treat him like he's a guy but not the main guy to build around. So if he were like tied down to Ring of Honor, then I would agree with you. But then it's like, you know what? He has won before. And
I see that logic.
Yeah, and then he's won before, so really it's like, fuck, you're just going to give it to him again, give him a title shot that's meaningless if he's not going to really like build up to a win. Like, you should really use the Survival of the Fittest to build up the main event for Final Battle. Like, you should set up your challenger here.
I agree. No, I completely agree on that.
Set it up for Final Battle, and you have this two-month build. But they don't really think like that. They just kind of treat it as like, well, we got these dates. We have to finish Survival of the Fittest somewhere. We'll just put it here and just give it to
guys. Like for Glory by Honor when it took place a few weeks ago. I mean, right. Who's going to remember Glory by Honor 3 weeks from now? Nobody.
And back to the day, those events, like the Glory by Honors, all those events were so important. And like certain parts of the year, you just knew these big shows were coming. And now they're not as big. And now it's like, well, I mean,
people were staying at home to follow the damn message board to see what was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I remember those days. It's crazy back in the day, you know, when I first
read. Now it's even easier to get results, and yeah. It's like, well, you know, we can wait. Like, I feel like the only company where people are like, I have to stay up and follow the results from start to finish, PWG is the only company I think that has that sort of buzz going for it.
Yeah, definitely. And, yeah, we'll see. If anything, I would have put, like, Survival of the Fittest on pay-per-view, you know, and make that special. But now it's just treated as, like, just another show, so it's not really important. So
yeah,
it's hard for me to care when they don't really care as much.
Sierra, your thoughts?
I'm here.
Sierra, your thoughts on Survival of the Fittest?
It's like, it's just disappointing that in the years past that it's not as important as it used to be. There used to be a time like where you would look forward to it. Now it's just like, oh, let's just throw it here. And I don't know if that's their, like, their plan going forward with this tournament, but it's kind of sad that, like, there is no emphasis that people actually should see this tournament, should go out of their way to see this show and actually want to be invested in this tournament. And there's so many guys on their roster that could benefit from this, but then again, it's probably not going to happen. So it's like kind of like a throwaway tournament just for the sake of doing it, when they could just hold it off for this year. It's really sad. Like, I remember, like, the year Eddie Edwards won and the hype surrounding Orton and the, you know, his chase for the world title. Like, that, it felt like such a big deal. And now it's like, it's like almost any kind of promotion with a tournament, anybody can win. And it's just like, I'm not supposed to think this about Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor is supposed to have this big code of honor and respect is earned, and it's supposed to be this big deal to be involved in these tournaments. And instead, it's not like that. It's, I don't know. I don't understand Ring of Honor's booking anymore. I don't understand their decisions. It's completely different from the product I was watching maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, speaking of that, Sierra, this, you have provided me with an excellent segue as we can discuss our match of the week, which is a match that took place over the Glory by Honor weekend. You can find it up on the Ring of Honor YouTube page. Mary Dobson versus Leia Von Dutch. So there's been a lot of discussion surrounding the Women of Honor on this podcast and off the air. Sierra and I have sort of bantered back and forth about, you know, the potential or non-potential of the Women of Honor. So I thought it would be very nice for us to just take a peek and see what exactly is going on with the Women of Honor, seeing who they are giving exposure to and who they are allowing to sort of get these opportunities. So this is a match that took place, like I said, Glory by Honor weekend. And Sierra, I'm very curious to know, you're the person I'm most interested in hearing the thoughts of, because it was indeed Mary Dobson, Leia Von Dutch, two people who are very familiar to independent wrestling fans. Mary Dobson has made appearances for AIW in the Girls Night Out series, Shimmer, NXT. Leia Von Dutch, of course, wrote an essay and got to become a pro wrestler thanks to winning this contest and getting a scholarship. And she has also made a name for herself in places like Shine, as well as other places across the Canadian independent wrestling scene. So, Sierra, I'm curious to know, what did you think of Mary Dobson versus Leia Von Dutch?
Oh, man, I've had so many thoughts, and some of them are probably going to come off nitpicking, but oh well. That's what I do. I didn't think the match was bad. I've actually seen them have a better match before, and it just felt so, like, I don't know, maybe it was the atmosphere. It just felt so drab. Like, the crowd was not really excited. Like, they cheered when they came out, but, like, the reaction just really died down. It just felt like these two girls were in the ring just working so hard at a match, and no one cared. And when I was watching the match, I said, if you really want us to get involved in this Women of Honor thing, like, you can't throw these girls out there like that to be ate alive in a dark match or whatever, because it's going to falter like that. And it kind of get the match kind of like Some parts of it was not the greatest, but I mean, I commend them for going out there and doing it and putting it together. And I wish it had more put into it, especially on Dobson's side. Leah was obviously the heel in the match, but I felt like when it came to Dobson, she should have been built more as the babyface and should have shown more fire, and I didn't get that. So that was missing right there. Commentary. I usually complain about Ring of Honor commentary on my own, but Lord have mercy, I had enough of it. Commentary, of course, they're going to mention about Leah writing the essay and Dobson competing in death matches, you know, the you know, hits and misses for anybody that wants to know about these women. But when they came to talking about they have different styles, this is going to be a clash of styles. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, wow, there's something that you guys are actually missing here. Something that you're missing to provide this information to the fans. Dobson and Dutch have both been to Japan. Dobson has been frequently to Japan. This past year alone has been like maybe her first year of not going to Japan and staying. You couldn't throw that in there and say, like, well, they have different styles, but they both kind of have something in common. They both have traveled to Japan. Like, it was just so much, like, from commentary side, like, it just felt like they weren't actually interested in it, and then the crowd wasn't interested in it, and it just, like, I'm trying with the Women of Honor thing, but if this is how things are going to be done, this is not going to last long, and it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you on the commentary. It just felt very, very generic commentary, very surface level, and I wasn't, like, I could have muted them and not missed a damn thing if I had just not heard what they had to say.
There's, like, so many things, especially with Dobson this past year. Like, Dobson is the current Resistant Pro Women's Champion. Of course, they're not going to mention that or promotion, but just the idea of saying, like, hey, she's main evented three big shows. Like, something more to make people be like, wow, I really need to get behind this girl. You mentioning that she competed in death matches, that's not going to get anybody behind her.
Right, especially in Ring of Honor, which is the antithesis of deathmatch wrestling.
Yeah, that's going to make people scared of her, and you're building her as the babyface. That is, like, the most backward logic. And then when they talked about Dutch, the accolades and stuff they were throwing out there about her, she seemed more of the babyface than the heel.
Right, if you were just aesthetically, Lea Von Dutch looked way more like the babyface.
Yes.
And I think that was also a problem with the match, is that Lea Von Dutch just looks more like a babyface than Mary Dobson does. You know, if this is a company like CZW or AIW, then Mary Dobson is the babyface all the way, because it just makes sense within the context of those companies.
Right.
But for this, I mean, not really. It really doesn't fit. And you mentioned some stuff about the crowd. They were not into this at all. And really, why would they be? What reason has Ring of Honor given them to care about these two women, you know, wrestling? None. And I think that is a major indictment. I mean, you also had, I mean, again, the commentators, it was not Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino. It was two other commentators, Ian and Matt. And again, like I said, you know, maybe it's partially Ring of Honor's fault for the way that they were produced. But again, the commentary was just very surface level, very, very generic, and it did not come across well. And this entire presentation did not come across well.
And you know, speaking of commentary, who they should have had out there who knows things about these women and could probably made it seem much better on commentary is Veda Scott.
I mean, I have always...
Why not?
I agree with you, Sierra. I think Veda Scott should be actually the commentator for Ring of Honor, period.
Like,
I don't think she should be wrestling at all. I don't think she should necessarily be a manager. I think her best contributions could come on commentary.
Like, I remember, I think it was like maybe a few years ago, she did, I think it was Mischief, and I can't remember who Mischief was taking on. She did commentary for the match, and I remember sitting there thinking, like, even though she's playing the heel, I remember thinking, like, she's giving us good information and still being a snarky heel, and it's coming off good. It's actually making me pay attention. Instead, I'm getting two guys I've never heard of giving me generic information and not making me actually care about this. And if this is how the Women of Honor are going to be presented, this is not going to work.
No, it's definitely not. It's not going to work at all.
You can't have two random women every weekend show do this. It's come on.
Well, and the other thing is that, you know, you're putting these two women on. You know, Ring of Honor is doing this Women of Honor Wednesday. And I'm just looking at it, and I'm questioning what the value is of just having this concept if you're just... If you're throwing random women out there and, you know, is this eventually going to lead to a Ring of Honor women's title? I mean, I would like to think that's where this is going, but I don't have any sort of indication right now.
I don't know if they're building towards a title. I know a few years ago they were.
Then why are we having these matches, Sierra?
I don't know. I know a few years ago before Del Rey departed and went and became a coach in NXT, they were talking about making a Ring of Honor's Women's Championship. And I guess that conversation got lost. And I mean, it's fine. I've seen promotions have women divisions without a title, which is fine. But the matches is always good and it's always presented well. But if you're going to have two random girls thrown out there and you're not making your audience actually care that they're out there in the ring, and you're throwing them in dark matches and you're uploading them onto YouTube for Wednesdays, why should I follow your Twitter account? And why should I care?
I mean, it's so transparent. The reason why they're putting it up on YouTube, they're doing it
for
the hits, and not doing it to forward storylines or to forward any sort of angles. You know, they're putting these under 10-minute matches up just so they can get extra eyes on the YouTube page, which is fine if that's how you want to do it. But don't pretend like you're building an actual, like, company that is going to have some legitimacy.
Yeah, and the thing is like, I love all these girls. I like Leia. I like Mandy Leon. I like Veda. I like Deonna. I like all of these girls. And I follow all of them, but it's just like, when it comes to Ring of Honor and I see some of them get booked for, I'm just like, maybe I shouldn't feel like, oh, God. You know, I can't help it.
You know, admittedly, I'm not the biggest fan of Lea Vantage, but in this situation, what is she supposed to do that's going to get her over? There's nothing that she can do to get herself over. Because she's being presented very poorly as a heel, but I think she's way more of a natural babyface, unless you're going to give her mic time. I mean, certainly she has been a heel in other places. It could probably work, but you've got to put in the time and the effort to do that. I mean, if you were just, again, when you look at it aesthetically, Lea Von Dutch is way more of a natural babyface than Mary Dobson is. And I think that was obviously a problem with the match. We've abandoned Brian. But Brian, I want to get you in on this conversation. What did you think of the match?
I agree with you guys already. Like, this was not good at all. Like, it didn't suck, but it wasn't good. And it was pretty random. And there's, like, no story. So, yeah, it's just kind of pointless. They did mention the Ring of Honor women's title, like, in the commentary about how it's possibly coming, but it's like, it doesn't matter because these girls aren't over in the company because you kind of just threw them out there and, like, no consequences and, like, there's no story. So it's like, what the hell? It was just so random. Like, commentary sucked. I've never heard these guys before, but I'm not a fan. They didn't do anything special.
Going through the motions.
Yeah, it was just so... It was like, whatever. It was just so bland. I keep thinking, like, if they really want to do something, you would have, like... I don't know. Isn't Santana Garrett, like, a multi-champion and other, like, different companies at the same time?
I think that's a political nightmare.
I'm just saying, like, you would bring someone, like, who's got this, like, really big name on the indies as a female wrestler who's, like, legitimately, like, a top female wrestler and just bring her in and kind of have like, okay, like I'm the Ultimo Dragon of women's wrestling. I Ring of Honor doesn't have a women's title yet, but I'm going to come in and take the belt once it's established or something like that. Like have a story in the freaking division and not just it's two random women. Just
I mean, the logical person to bring in at this point is Tidy Loveless, but I don't know if that's the direction they're headed in.
And I don't understand how she's not there.
I mean, because it's not like, it boggles my mind that Heidi Loveless was the AEW Heritage Champion last year. And when I look at what she's done in 2015, I just look at AEW and Shimmer and Ring of Honor, and I'm like, so why isn't Heidi higher up on the card in all of those places? That's really bothering me. Sierra, I don't know how you feel about that, but I just look at that situation and it really annoys me.
I get what you're saying. It's one of those things that, like, you get elevated in other places, but it doesn't change the way you get elevated in these other places. Like, you would think around this time that she would be up a little bit higher. I remember saying with the Shimmer tapings that I think that even if they weren't going to put her in the main title picture all so fast and quickly, that it's about time that they start pushing her towards it. Like they did with, you know, years ago, did with like the likes of like Jessie McKay and like Athena at one point. And then, you know, so many girls, they kind of teased that they were going to go there, but they didn't get there. Like, I feel like it's time to put her there, but it's not going to happen. And what Brian was saying about like bringing in Santana Garrett, I actually kind of agree. And even though there's a lot of politics with that, but being that I have a feeling that the NWA wouldn't mind Santana defending the World Women's Championship on Ring of Honor, it would still bring some legitimacy to this whole situation that you're building. And I call it a situation because I don't know what the hell it's supposed to be. It would make people actually think like, wow, like this is a big deal. If they're having this girl who doesn't even work here want to defend the most like prized women's championship in the world, it's got to be a big deal. And this women's division thing is really weird to me because I'm still a little bit confused of why they brought in Nanae Takahashi to take on ODB a couple months ago. And I'm like, oh, they're bringing in Nanae Takahashi. Oh, that's cool. This is a big deal. And then she loses. I'm like, well, what the fuck was the point of bringing in Nanae Takahashi? Like, it made no benefit for her at all. It made no benefit for ODB. ODB's bounced. What are we doing?
I don't know. I don't know what we're doing, Sierra.
I'm telling you now, if they bring in Ayaka Hamada and do the same thing, I am done. I am done.
I love getting you fired up. It's like, one of the most entertaining parts of my week.
Because it's just like, I just don't understand, like, stupid things like that. Like, come on, like, if you really want me as a women's wrestling fan to get behind this, you gotta actually make me get behind this. Otherwise, I'm still sitting at you looking at you like, are you kidding me? You brought in Nanae Takahashi and jobbed her.
You know, I know it's only November, but the next women's podcast we do is probably gonna be a year-end show. I'm looking forward to this because we're gonna be talking about the Women of Honor. We're going to be talking about the Divas Revolution, which I know, Sierra, is a topic you love talking about.
And I've actually, like, excluded it from the roundup. For now on. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about this year.
Yeah, so that will be forthcoming very soon at pwponderings.com. Plus, a whole lot of other year-end stuff and podcasts and write-ups and all that. But for right now, we are done for tonight with the weekly newscast. But Brian, I have a question for you.
Shoot.
Why do we not have a pour one out? Why do we not have like a shirt with pour one out or pop the champagne yet?
2016.
So we're teasing it, is what you're saying.
What's that?
You're teasing it.
Yes. I have some ideas for January 1st launch. One idea is it's 2016, and that's just the shirt. It's just 2016. And then once we have some more Pour One Out Pop Champagne, some more of those segments, I think beginning of 2016 will be perfect for it. So,
if I decide to brew my own beer, and there's always a possibility I may do that, I may have to make it PW Ponderings brand.
Awesome. Like Drew Carey, except it'll be more successful.
Except hopefully the beer won't suck. That's the goal.
And if you can get over 5%, good for you. Because usually when you make it yourself, it's like I read stories people get like 3%, 4%. But if you can get over 5%, that's legit because that's like some good Blue Moon style beer. So get to that level.
All right, Brian. So while we watch The Undertaker and Kane in 2015 and Raw, why don't you go ahead and plug your stuff and get us out of here.
We got a Redbubble store. We sell shirts. We sell, I guess, postcards, stickers, all kinds of things you can think of, notebooks. You can take any of the designs and make them anything you want to purchase or whatever. You don't have to get a shirt. You can get like an iPhone case or whatever. So redbubble.com/people/PWPondering/shop and check us out and check out the new design, the Bloody Strong style. It's cool. It looks like you got chopped to death or you just had a match with Kenta Kobashi. Either way, looks badass. So check that out. And yeah, we'll have a PG version of the shirt soon. And yeah, I guess that's it for me for now. I will be doing the live tweeting for PWG. And actually, we didn't talk about New Japan, but I guess that's kind of well, I guess we'll have a preview show for the Tokyo Dome like we usually do for the last couple of years. So look out for that around the end of the
year. Should we just post the one from last year, change the names? Because it's pretty much that, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's a whole other discussion. Whole other discussion. And let's just say I'm glad that it's on a Monday, so we don't have to put out the effort to go watch it because I can just literally wait till the next morning. Like, if this was, like, on a Saturday, I might not even be excited to watch it live, like, just saying that.
So. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll be back next week.
I'm excited for the show.
Maybe we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, we'll get to New Japan at some point. We'll get to that. Sierra, ring bells. I know you're busy. Tell us what you're working on. Calm yourself down.
I'm calm. I never get too worked up. I'm always calm, even when I'm worked up. It's weird. Yeah, this week's roundup is... Everybody's going to probably hate me because it's going to be super long, and I don't care. I'm going to say everything I have to say, and this is going to be probably the first and last time I talk about DPWI female top 50 in the roundup ever. So don't expect the next year or the year after. I am completely done.
Because all you're going to do is anyone asks, you're just going to link them to the article that you write this year, because it's probably going to be the same stupid argument that we all have.
Yeah. It's going to be the same stupid argument and the same explanations and the same me giving my opinions and the same me giving you reasons why that this is should not be even tolerated as a real thing. It's going to be the same thing. And I just feel like, because I've already got half of it done. And I got more of it. And I was telling you guys off air that this article is based off something I had been sitting on for 2 years. I was going to put this up 2 years ago, but some things happened. And I never got to post it to Ringbell's site because the site went down. But it's based off an interview I did a long time ago. And I got information on that, and I'm going to explain it, and I'm going to be very clear, precise, and if you don't agree, you just don't agree. You don't need to argue with me. I don't care. I'm not singling out anybody. I just feel like it's no reason to be this hopping mad off a kayfabe list that I could give less of a damn about. That's going to be talked about. Also, I'm going to be talking about Stardom. I kind of criticized them this week. It's kind of become a thing with Stardom lately. I don't like what they're doing with the NWA World Women's Championship. Santana Garrett's defending the title gets Holly Dead, which is a competitor I don't know anything about. I talk about that, and I also kind of get into history a little bit. So anybody just excuse me that I'd like jump into the history about Mildred Burke and June Byers. So... Yeah, that came up in the discussion about Stardom. But
Sierra, you really want to be the Dave Meltzer of women's wrestling. I mean, you don't have a cell phone. You're not into technology that much. I mean, you're really the female Dave Meltzer at this point.
I mean, I like the title, but I don't think he would. You know, it's only...
I don't know.
I mean, it's only more room for one of us, you know? I don't think he would like that. Probably have to ask him that one day, but yeah, I get into that out of nowhere. I completely don't know how I got into it, but it started from the NWA and it just took me there. But I talk about those things and of course the results, what happened over the weekend. Everything else like in the roundup is kind of short besides the top story. So yeah, expect that up on Wednesday, folks.
Thank you, Sierra. Thank you, Brian, as always. And thank you, Chris TST, for recording. My name is Jerome Cusan. You've been listening to the Weekly Newscast. Next week, we'll be discussing Evolve 51. We'll be reviewing it. We'll be just previewing CZW, Ring of Honor next weekend, or Ring of Honor will be running another double shot, plus a whole lot more. Thanks for listening.